Okay, so praise God. If you'll be turning, if you're turning to Hebrews chapter 1, I'm going to be beginning the second part. This is the second part of the Intercessor's Playbook. The Intercessor's Playbook. We did Judges chapter 1 last week, if you remember, Aksha, and how she came, to receive the inheritance. She claimed the rightful inheritance that belonged to her in the house of Caleb. That's what she did, and she stood for it. You know, she got off that donkey, and she came forward, didn't she? She came forward, and as she came forward to claim the inheritance that was rightfully hers, but don't you wonder what would have happened if she'd had a passive heart and mentality about all of that? You know, she, remember, had her husband to go and to ask for a field. I'm not going to preach that message again, but that was the essence of it. You know, and he went and he began to talk about this inheritance and such. And I don't know what kind of spirit that he was asking or whatever, but she was going to make her voice known. And that's something that we merely need to hear. She was going to make her voice known. And she was going to ask for what that she believed with all of her heart was the inheritance that belonged to her in the Lord. And if you remember, Caleb's reply was, you know what, well, she got off that, it said she alight from that donkey, and she came, and he said, what do you want? What do you want? I want a blessing. Do you remember? That's what she said. She said, I want a blessing. And then not only did she say that I want a blessing, you notice that she didn't take the position of, well, just, you know, whatever you want to give me, then Lord, you know, you go ahead and give it to me. You know, she says, I want water. That's what I want. I want water. I want the upper springs and the lower springs. You know, she spoke exactly what she wanted as she thought and knew was the inheritance of the Lord. What a picture for you and I. What a picture for us that we understand. And how many take that laid back picture that they sit back and say, well, you know, I'll just let the Lord bless me. He knows what I need before he asks. And that's a wrong use of that scripture. That's a wrong use of that scripture. Oh, well, you know, and it's a passive spirit. It's a passive spirit. You know, and even though the Lord would want to move in a mighty way, he's hindered. He's hindered because we're not coming before him in the way that he wants us to come. He wants us to fully receive everything that he has done for us. I know that that becomes kind of hard at times because, you know, we may know better, but we got that old spirit that wants to work on us, you know, that, well, you know, I mean, I don't deserve it. I am failing in this, or I'm failing in that, or whatever it would be. I'm just not all up to snuff as I really ought to be. You know, there's always areas of our lives that are going under the transforming power of Almighty God. This is what happens when you walk with the Lord. When you walk with the Lord, you have light and you have understanding. That this is not the way that those that live in darkness or they live in rebellion to God, that they have thoughts and feelings in their lives. It's the righteous that have these kind of thoughts and these kind of feelings. They have an awareness. They have an awareness, and that awareness, a discernment that comes into the lives, and they're more fully aware of the things that are going on in their own heart. There's an awareness of the heart. There's an awareness when affliction comes. There's an awareness when there's conflict that comes. There's an awareness when there is a defilement that is trying to approach you and find a way in you or find a way with you. You know, this comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's because we begin to stand up and we proclaim and we keep our eyes on Jesus. If anything I have to say to you here today, more than anything, is to keep your eyes on Jesus. And then you begin to do something. You begin to proclaim things that you really do not deserve. But they've been done for you. victories. I didn't spend enough time in my Bible this week. You know, I really didn't pray really long enough. And I'm not saying that we don't grow and improve in these things, but we do it through the grace of God. But there's always something, an accusation to be brought up against you, to stand against you, to keep you from being bold in the Lord, to keep you more reserved. And we think a lot of times, a lot of Christians think that that's humility, but it's not humility at all, because it's not the way of the Lord. Well, we want to walk in that way with God. And we want to proclaim as Aksha did. And we want to stand and we want to tell the Lord just exactly, Lord Jesus, this is what I need. This is what I need for you to do. And then it's not all about us. Because that's the foundation of intercessory prayer. It is not about us, but it's about the will of God. It's becoming a soldier. And there's too many Christians that don't want to be soldiers. They don't want to be the soldier of the Lord. You know, we've been so shallow, I'm going to use that word, in our Christian faith, that a lot of believers have refused to grow up in the Lord in reality. But we, as we go on, that's how blessings even increase in your life. The more you sacrifice yourself for the purpose of God, the more blessings and answered prayer that comes upon your life. The more that you make your Christian life about you, the less you receive. The less you receive. The more that your prayers evolve around you, and there's nothing wrong with you praying prayers for yourself. But, you know, a lot of times we kind of, that's where we dwell, right? You know, is praying prayers for ourselves. We want to go past that. We want to offer ourselves as the soldier of the Lord. We want to enter into intercessory prayer. Now, the foundation of that, of course, and I'm going to read it right here. It's a scripture that we all know so well, but bear with me as we go through it. And that's the foundation of faith. The foundation of faith. The covenant that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is a covenant of grace through faith. It's a covenant of grace through faith. I don't just simply believe on the Lord when I get saved. I walk with the Lord through faith and a life of faith before the Lord. And so we need to understand that. That's why the subject of faith has been such under attack in the church. That's why there's been so many forces to pervert the message of faith and the way of faith, because when it comes to genuine believers, to scare them enough that they'll run the other way when the preacher starts preaching on faith. But this is a necessity of understanding in our Christian foundation. Here it is. This is in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says, now faith, and he begins to give a definition here. Now, faith is the assurance. I'm reading out a New American Standard. Now, faith is the assurance, and I want you to, I'm going to read it all first, is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I know that most of you could just simply quote that verse. I know that. But may the Spirit of the Lord impart something different and new to us here today in our understanding. And first of all, I want you to see two particular things that are being spoken here. Number one is that I want you to see the foundation as things hoped for. Because the number two is that you see assurance comes after the things that are hoped for. Now, faith is the assurance. The assurance. The assurance of what? The assurance of things that are hoped for. All right, so you understand that. So that's the beginning place. The third thing that I want you to see out of this is that I want you to see that the assurance comes from God. The assurance comes from God. Oh, how wonderful it is to know that when you give your heart to believing upon God and to be found in faith, and I'm not talking about in a generalized way, but that you're going to believe God and you're going to walk with the Lord by faith and you're going to stay in faith, and yes, you're going to practice faith. Yeah, yes, that's right. You're going to practice faith. You know, you have to keep after it. You have to take it up And you know, not a matter of I know about it, or I know the scriptures, or I know the doctrine. No, that you have a fundamental practice of faith in your life. There's so many that hold to a philosophy of faith that have no reality of a practice of faith. And we're always in danger of that. We're all, you know, familiarity breeds contempt, right? You know, so you know, things that we get so familiar with that sometimes they're more idealistic, more philosophical, more theological than they are practical. This has to be a fundamental practice of faith in the life of the believer. This is when you begin to see the power of God. This is when you begin to see promises unfold. This is when you begin to see the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your faith to stand and to believe and shows you things because your faith is alive in the Lord. And your faith alive in the Lord allows the Holy Spirit to illuminate and enlighten you in the realm of the Spirit and how the Lord would lead you and establish you and give you victories over things that you don't even in the natural understand. You enter into the realm of the Spirit. You enter into the realm of the Spirit. You're into the realm of spiritual warfare. That should not be a word that you're afraid of. Don't be afraid of it. Somebody says, now you know, you start entering into spiritual warfare and you're going to get the devil's attention. Well, I'm going to tell you, you already got his attention. Okay? All right? You know, whether you like it or not. And we can talk about the devil in church, okay? He comes to church a lot. All right? You just really need to understand that he comes, and I'm not a joke in there either, right? He comes to church. You know, one of the hierarchies in the realm of the demonic is a religious spirit. You know, we think of all of the nasty stuff, sexual, you know, or fleshly indulgence, yes, and those type of things, you know, that spirits attach themselves to. You know, someone says, oh, well, now you know that, you know, I'm a born again Christian and I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. That's good, but I'm going to warn you against fleshly desire. If you indulge in the way of the Spirit, you're now indulging the enemy territory. You can plead the blood all you want, but your proclamation doesn't line up with your actions. You stay away from the flesh. You stay away from the flesh. And when the flesh wants to get a hold of you in any way, you come to the Lord in repentance. You come to the Lord in repentance. You stay in the realm of the Spirit at all costs. At all costs. If you want to know, that's where safety and security comes from. That's where it comes from in the Lord. Demon powers will attach themselves. Now, somebody would say, you know, the other thing, you know, that great, wonderful theological argument. Well, now, brother, what are you saying? Are you saying that I got a demon in me? Oh, a Christian can't have a demon. Is he inside or he's outside? Who in the world cares? Who in the world cares? Because if he's attached to you, he's attached to you. Regardless if he's on the inside, quit dealing with philosophical argument and get down to the nitty gritty of what the issue is in the first place. If you mess around with sin, you'll find yourself in bondage to sin. You mess around with sin, you're going to find yourself in bondage to sin. And you need to understand that demonic powers want to attach themselves to you. Now, the Word of God talks about that there's all kinds of demonic powers. I'm just indulging this just a little bit. I'll get into it later in another day and time. You know, but demonic powers, they don't go away because you ignore them. The church hasn't really talked about it enough. The church has not talked about it enough. Oh, well, now you know you're glorifying the devil if you talk about him. I haven't found that scripture yet. Okay? And I find the New Testament talking about the powers of darkness constantly. Okay? Constantly. Now, you need to know that demons want to attach themselves to you. And they'll do it at the places of indulgence. I'm not talking about a one-time indulgent, maybe not even a two-time indulgent. not even a three-time indulgent. I don't know where that line is crossed. But I guarantee you that spirit knows. That spirit knows when that line is crossed. And when that line is crossed, then he says, buddy, you're in my territory. I don't care if you confess Jesus or not. I got a right to you in that area of your life. I have a right to you because you're not walking in Jesus and you're not walking in the Spirit. You're walking in the flesh. It's time that we understand as believers these things. We need to have a holy fear of God of these things in our heart and our life. We need to understand that the New Testament teaches that there's a broad way and that there is a narrow way. We've ignored those subjects too long. You know, the broad way leads to death and destruction. And we find that the narrow way leads to life in Jesus Christ. The foundation of these things and the overcoming by the power of God and the way that we walk before the Lord in intercession. You know, intercession is where we enter into that warfare of the Lord. Sometimes that warfare starts with us. Right? Now, because the Lord wants to bring certain victories in your life and wants you to overcome. And, you know, we begin to address the issues of affliction in our own life. If I'm a Christian and I have a repeat habit that is of the flesh, of an indulgent way that is sin and not of God, and I keep doing it, and even when I say, I don't want to do that no more, and I end up hating it, but I keep doing it, brother, sister, you need to start getting suspicious. You need to start getting suspicious of where the source is coming from. You need to start getting suspicious. Because ignoring it is not going to solve it. It's not going to solve it. You know, the word talks about speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. This is a spiritual law that we believe on the Lord, we open up our mouth, and we speak to the mountain. And the promise is that it shall be uprooted and cast into the sea. You know, we saw where Moses, when they were in such dire straits, there was the Red Sea before them, Pharaoh's army was behind them, and all of Israel had turned against Moses, and they were bellyaching, and they were complaining, and why have you brought us out here? You brought us out here to die, didn't you? You know, that's what you brought us out here to die. You know, and Moses is overcome. He's just overcome. And, you know, he stops. And he starts crying, Lord, what am I supposed to do here? You know, what am I going to do? You know, and he cries. And God said, why are you crying out to me? Go forward. That is an amazing scripture right there. That is an absolutely amazing scripture. You know, and that's where he was going to see the power of God. Are you with me? You know, by going forward. That's why Aksha found the power of God, because she went forward. We must be a going forward people in these things. And so back to this issue, that if you got an affliction, right, and you're to have victory over the flesh, I'm not saying there's not a wrestling that goes on. I'm not saying that there's not things that are harder to overcome. I'm not saying that you don't have certain tendencies. I don't understand tendencies, but they are there for whatever reason. They are there, and some things are harder for you, for me, in a particular way, more so than maybe someone else in a different way. I don't know. I don't understand that. But the worst thing that you can do is to ignore it. That's the worst thing you can do. And if that affliction that you despise and that you hate, and you've been praying about it, and you've been praying about it, and you've been lifting it up, and you just can't even stand that thing about yourself, and you know you don't want it whatsoever, and then you still go ahead, get suspicious. Get suspicious. begin to speak to the mountain. And it doesn't matter if he's inside or outside. What matters is that he has an area of territory with you. Now, you know, I want to mark your place right here. Would you do that? And would you just, I feel like I need to do this. So you go over to Ephesians real quick, chapter 4. I want you to go over to Ephesians, if you would, in chapter 4. And I hadn't really planned on doing this at this particular point, but I'm going to do this since we're on this subject, because this is a very important subject. You know, Jesus did not ignore the powers of darkness. He addressed them continually. You know, the disciples did not ignore the powers of darkness. You're not giving a foothold by talking about the things and the works of darkness. You know, matter of fact, we're supposed to be enlightened about them and on guard against them. All right, now, would you look at this real quick? This is in Ephesians on chapter 4, and I want you to look right down here, if you would. I want you to see this. This is in verse 26, and it says, "Be angry, but you better be careful, and yet do not sin." Look at this. "Do not let the sun go down on your anger." And in other words, if you're angry, right? If you're angry, but, you know, you better be careful that, you know, okay. There is such thing as righteous anger. I think maybe it gets claimed too much, you know. I think it gets claimed a little bit too much, you know. But we'll give that one there. There's such thing as righteous anger. But there's also, it says, do not sin. And then it warns you and I. And it says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. And the next question comes as to why. Well, he goes on and he tells us very clearly. Will you look at this? Verse 26, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." Here's 27, "And do not give the devil an opportunity." Now, if you have the King James, I think it says place, you know, right there. The Greek word for opportunity or place is the Greek word topos. And it means an area of or region of dwelling. An area or region of dwelling. T-O-P-O-S. Topos. Boy, that's sobering, isn't it? That's sobering. We need to be aware of these things. Let's go to another place, if you would. Would you turn over into 1 John? I'd like you to go, if you would, into 1 John. And we're going to come down to the 5th chapter, if you look right there. You know, this is a different direction that the Lord's kind of taken me, although I've had it in my heart and wanted to go this direction, and I'm going to revisit it. But you know what is the victories? A lot of victories also come by addressing spiritual forces that are coming against us. You may have spiritual forces coming against you. You may have this region of affliction that you're dealing with on a personal level. If you do, then talk to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. This is how you get it off. This is how you get it off. And he don't have to leave because you keep praying to God. All right, because God has told us to speak to the mountain. Jesus addressed these things head on. And then also the disciples did too. And they talked about them. And that many times that there are things that are in the way. There's things that keep a church from growing. There are things that keep people from hearing the gospel. There are things that are of a demonic force. And it's been given to the church in the spirit of intercession to come against those spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places, that we may cause them to come down and no longer have the power or the stronghold that they have, because Jesus has won the victory. We're to claim souls for the kingdom of God. Did you know that? Yeah, and that is not, it's done by witnessing. Witness. We don't witness enough. Witness. But it's not just witness. It's spiritual in nature. is because the Spirit of the Lord comes upon people and moves in their hearts, and people come to the Lord. And the reason they come to the Lord is that spirit of darkness that's holding them in captivity is that there's those intercessors of God who all in Christ are called to, those intercessors of God. They begin to intercede and stand against those wicked forces and those places of bondage and strongholds. And they begin to speak to the mountain, and they begin to tell those things to be loosed in the name of Jesus. Here's another example right here. If you look at this, this is in 1 John, and then this is in the 5th chapter, and I want you to look with me. You know, it says right here in verse 18, we know that no one who is born of God sins. In other words, you don't practice sin. No. No, you don't. No, you practice righteousness. You know, I didn't say you didn't sin. But you don't practice sin. You practice righteousness. But he who is born of God, listen, keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. Wow. What a wonderful blessing. But you do understand that's in Jesus. That promise is in Jesus. Then he goes on and explains more. Verse 19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us what? Understanding. In order, now do you see that? That's spiritual understanding that he's talking about there. He gives us understanding in order that we might know him who is true, and we are in him, notice that, who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. Then it goes on and says, this is the true God and eternal life. Here's verse 21, little children, guard yourselves from idols. Where in the world did that come up at? See, only Jesus is to have our heart. Only Jesus is to have our heart. It's up to us to keep ourselves before the Lord. He provides the keeping power. We do the yielding. We do the yielding all the days of our life in the Lord. Kathy, would you come on and if you pray, Spent, come on. And it's not scary. It's not. It's wisdom. It's wisdom.